Okay, you're picking me. There we go. Now it's working. So tonight we're doing the 12th chapter, the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. As we have said many times, Ecclesiastes was his thoughts at the end of his life. Well, this is the thoughts, the final thoughts at the end of his book, when he's kind of puzzled through all of this. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of adversity come and years approach when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and light are darkened, and the moon and the stars and the clouds return after the rain. On the day when the guardians of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, the women who grind cease because they are few, and the ones who watch through the windows see dimly. The doors at the street are shut while the sound of the mill fails. When one rises at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song grow faint. Also, they're afraid of heights and dangers. On the road, the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper loses its spring, and the caperberry has no effect. For man is headed to his eternal home, and mourners will walk around in the street. Before the silver cord is snapped, and the gold bowl is broken, and the jar is shattered at the spring, and the wheel is broken into the well, and the dust returns to the earth as it once was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Absolute futility, says the teacher. Everything is futile. In addition to the teacher being a wise man, he constantly taught the people knowledge. He weighed, explored, and arranged many proverbs. The teacher sought to find delightful sayings and write words of truth accurately. The sayings of the wise are like goads, and those from masters of collections are firmly embedded nails. The sayings are given by one shepherd. But beyond these, my son, be warned. There's no end to the making of many books, and much study wearies the body. When all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is, fear God and keep his commands, because this is for all humanity. For God will bring every act to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this book that we have studied. Help us to understand it and take it to heart. Help us to read it over and over again each year, and just make us wise because we have spent time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, final chapter from the teacher, son of David, was short Solomon. He began very well. He built the temple. He was responsible to his father, David, who had taught him well. But in the end, he ended badly because he got led astray by foreign women. This is something that God had told him. This is a thing that God had said. Don't get involved with the foreign women. They will lead you to go and worship other gods. So in the 12th chapter, basically he starts out saying, live responsibly in your youth. Revere God. Now, you have to understand that the Hebrews had a progressive revelation of God, I guess you would say. In the beginning, it was, our God is the biggest, baddest God. Then it became, our God can whip every god. And he's in charge of the whole earth. Then it became, there is no other God. See, we often think that the Jews thought of God as being the only God right from the very beginning. They didn't. They thought of him as their God. They did think that he could whip any other God. Of course, the people from the other nations all thought their God could whip our God. But in the end, they learned those are not gods. Those are false. And as you look through the prophets, many of which, of course, were coming actually after the Babylonian captivity, and most of them were leading up to the Babylonian captivity, and they were slowly but surely learning. God is God and him only. Nobody else. There is no other God. Everything else is false. And he made it very clear to them as they went off to the Babylonian captivity, I'm doing this to you. I'm using the Babylonians. Okay, their God didn't do anything. I allowed it. And as you read through Jeremiah, you see that this was a hard thing for them to understand. Because when Jeremiah would say, look, you messed up. Here's what's happening. Here's what God says. Go to Babylon, live there. He'll bring you back. Don't worry, but you have to be punished. Well, they thought that was treasonous. And they had a hard time with it. Solomon is saying, revere God and him only. And he says adversity is coming. Basically, he could see what was going on, and he knew that the Hebrew people were going to walk away from God. They were going to get all messed up. And somewhere down the line, and it turned out to be like 600-700 years later, they would end up getting in big time trouble. And he says, when you're old, you won't enjoy life as much as you used to. I can testify to that. Okay? I have got old. There are things I would like to do. I can't do them anymore. Okay? It's starting to frighten me because I have seen people who were avid motorcyclists and around 70s, 80s, they decided, old guy is my hero because he just goes on and on and on. And I figured, okay, I can go on and on and on too. You know, I love riding my motorcycle. I don't like schlepping it around when I'm not riding it, but at any rate. And he says you will decline in your abilities. You're not going to be able to do things as well as you used to. You're not going to be able to do things that you need to do as well as you used to do. And he says eventually you begin to pull back from society. Old people tend to do that. They tend to go off to old people's homes, or even if they're in their house, they're just, they have their local people, they have their families who come by and visit them, but they tend to be pretty well isolated. I'm going to try not to do that in my old age. My dad and my mom didn't. They were pretty well. Then my mom, after my dad was gone, she was pretty well ensconced in her house. But, you know, they still got out and they participated in church and everything like that. So that's what I'm going to try to do. But old people pull back. And he says you'll be fearful. Let me tell you, that's true as well. Sometimes when you get old, you're afraid. Well, what's going to happen? Okay, I go to the gym and walk on a treadmill because the doctor wanted me to walk. I didn't want to walk because I figured I would get out somewhere and I'd be tired, I'd fall down, I'd hurt myself, who knows what would happen, right? And so I didn't want to do that. I was fearful. Now, I go to the gym. I get on the treadmill. If I fall off the treadmill, Pat's right next, and she can come by to, you know, call me names and tell me what an idiot I am. But at any rate, you know, at least there'll be somebody there to take care of me. And yeah, we have things to hold on to. You shouldn't fall off. You should just, you know, grab it or whatever. But so he says, live well before death comes. Be ready for it. And then we have a thing where he's talking about the authority of his book that he's writing. He says this is God-given wisdom. See, he was known to be the wisest person and probably one of the most knowledgeable people who ever lived. He was just this really smart guy. And he's saying, no, I didn't do it. It all came from God. And so he teaches people. And he says his teaching comes from God. He's told what to say. I know about that too. Let me tell you, I've been in situations where I'm sitting there telling the Lord, what am I going to say, Lord? What am I going to do? You've put me in a position where pastoring is hard. And his answer is always the same. Shut up and I'll tell you. And it always works. But he says, beware of new teaching. If somebody shows up and he's got a bunch of new stuff, oh, this is the new, right? This is something that I am historically known for and called an old fuddy-duddy and so on like that. There is no new gospel. This is the same gospel Jesus put out over 2,000 years ago. It has never changed. The way you get saved has never changed. All of these new and better ways of things are not new and better. They're recycled, old. Maybe we're using new technology. Yeah, okay, so we can get on the TV and we can tell everybody about Jesus. But what we're telling them has not changed in 2,000 years. Beware of new teaching. He said, don't believe stuff just because it's in a book. Some old boy write a book, and he may be crazy as bad book. You know, nothing he says may make any sense. Evaluate it. Think about it. And one of the big things is, if it's in the Bible, that's one book you can trust. So if somebody writes a book and it doesn't line up with the Bible, take the new book and throw it out. Don't believe it just because somebody wrote it in a book. I mean, good grief. Joe Biden wrote books. There's people out there who, you know, one of the biggest things that people talk about is this idiot Saul Alinsky. Guy's a right little commie, but he is the part, he's you know, the leader of the people who read his books and go out and do it. That whole book is full of hooey. You don't want to do it. And then he gives his final advice, is in conclusion. You know, he, and it just, all 11 and, you know, and two-thirds chapters, and it all comes down to this little bit. Fear God and keep his commandments. I mean, that's what it said. The teacher concluded, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the answer to life, the universe, and everything. You know, in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, they had the answer to the life, the universe, and everything. It was 42, but it was wrong. And it just, you know, this is the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And it's not wrong. He says God will bring everything to judgment. There's going to come a time of judgment. And we may be scared to death when we come up for judgment. Except that when we get there, here comes Jesus and says, oh, no, 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 that's one of mine. So we don't get judged.
We do. We get judged and then we get forgiven.
Right. But we don't go through this whole recitation because Jesus would just say, look, you know, I've already forgiven this guy of everything he ever did. You know, God will bring everything to judgment. And those people who have not gotten reconciled to God are going to have a hard time with this. And he said, hidden things will come to light. You know, that tends to happen. All of a sudden, we're starting to find out all kinds of hidden things about the leaders of our country, both sides. And when it comes out, then they say, oh, well, you can't trust those guys anymore. Guess what? You couldn't trust them before. You know, you trust God. Measure what people are doing against God's laws. If it doesn't line up, find somebody else to follow. So what does this all mean for us? Well, first of all, keep God at the forefront. I mean, that was the thing that has been through this entire book. Keep God at the forefront. If you don't know what to do, check with God. Look in his book. Secondly, stuff will happen. It's what he said, is things come up and you go, wait a minute, that ain't right. Stuff happens. You know, it's all random. That's what he said. It's futile. It's like chasing after the wind. Don't worry about this. You'll wear yourself out. When we will get old and we will die, that's the way it's going to be. Guess what? Everybody he ever talked to and everybody who ever read the book died. Okay? God will always be in charge, so just leave everything up to him. One of the greatest statements ever made in the history of the world was Henry Blackaby in Experiencing God. He said, the heart of it all is to find out what God is doing and go join him. Let God deal with what to do and to guide you as you're doing it. Learn from good teachers, but check it out all the time. This is one of the things I've said so many times. When I really, really got to feeling as though, oh boy, this is the guy. I'm just going to, you know, study at his feet. And this is who I want to be like and everything. And they fail you every single time. Something silly will come up. The only one I know of that it really never did was Adrian Rogers. And I knew him in my teens and then not anymore. So who knows? Something may have gone on that I didn't know about. Who knows? But he's the only one who never made a statement, never anything, that I found to be bogus. And that's probably because nothing he ever said, that I heard at least, wasn't based on the Word of God. Learn from good teachers, but check them out. And enjoy your life. God gave you life. Enjoy it. And enjoy your relationship with God. That's the heart of all of this book. Enjoy your relationship with God. Guess what? That's what you were created for. God created everything in the world. He created all of the critters in the world. He created everything. And the last thing he created was humankind. Because he was creating all the rest of it for us. And so then he created us to be for him, to have fellowship with. And wouldn't it be the first man and woman screwed it up? And God has spent all this time trying to fix it. I always said it took three chapters to create the earth, one chapter to screw it up, and 65 and so many chapters to try to fix it. Enjoy your relationship with God. Enjoy the fact that we're reconciled to Him. And that we can go to Him anytime we want to and get the answers we need. Sometimes the answer is, trust me. And don't lie. Just say, you know, Lord, that's really hard. He'll go, I know. Just trust me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and go with us. And help us to enjoy our life and to enjoy you, to keep you at the forefront, and to remember that you're still and always in charge. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.